Jeremiah chapter 17. Thankful for the Lord's blessings on the week, and continue to pray as we embark upon this new year. The Lord would help us to know what He'd have us to do, and we know many things of what He'd have us to do, but if there's something that we're not doing that we should be doing, that the Lord would help us in that. And thankful for His blessings, and pray that the Lord would just bless us as we look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we'd be about the business that He's called us to do. We've been, as a church, given a threefold commission, and we all have a part in that commission. And may the Lord help us, and we keep that at the forefront of our hearts and minds as we consider about being a member at Olmsted Baptist Church, that we'd fit that and find the place that the Lord has for us in that, individually and together as a church. Here in Jeremiah chapter 17, I'm going to pick it up in verse number 5, read down through verse number 11. And there's a contrast that's here that we want to pick out of this passage for the text of the message and for the subject of the message. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 5, the scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Okay, and so here that trusting in man, "and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Okay, so there's a man there that's trusting in man, trusting in what his arm can do, trusting in the flesh. "For he shall be like the heath." And that heath, if I understand it right, is speaking about a juniper tree in the desert. Okay, a juniper tree in the desert that's there naked, exposed. There's the words, the Hebrew words in there is also talking about being poor or destitute. "And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." Verse number 7. And look at the contrast here. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." Okay? "And whose hope is the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." Now that dry tree out in the desert, not that exposed tree out there in the desert, "and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Verse 9. I find it interesting here that this passage is right up against what we've just read. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Familiar passage. We'll refer to it, and we know the Lord instructs us about ourselves in that. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Verse 11. "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." Very interesting passage. What we see here in these verses 5 through 8, we see a contrast between one that trusts in man and one that believes in and trusts in the Lord. It's a great contrast, and there's a great difference there, isn't it? And then in verse number 9 and verse number 10, it speaks to us about the heart and about the searching of the Lord. And so does it not parallel in a man trusting in man and how the heart is? If a man's trusting in man, he's trusting in what his heart tells him to do, and he trusts in that which he knows carnally, if you will. And then that one that would trust in the Lord does search the heart, and he tries the reins, and he does give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Where are you in this? Where are you? Are you trusting in man? Or are you trusting in the Lord? We ask that question to each and every one of us here in the house. What we want to do is, from this passage, we want to consider The subject this morning, feeling or faith. Feeling or faith. Okay? And so there's many ways that man can trust in man. The only way to trust in the Lord is to believe in Him and believe what He says and have faith that what God says is true. And we want to consider this from the standpoint of feeling or faith. What's the Bible say about that? And how are we found in it here this morning? In Matthew chapter 15, for our text, let's take a look over here also and just look at this verse. This is a New Testament reference and saying the same kind of thing that we saw there in Jeremiah. In Matthew chapter 15, it's a 20-verse chapter. We'll not read the whole chapter, but the Lord here dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes and Pharisees, they came to Him and they challenged the Lord about His disciples not keeping the tradition of the elders. They don't wash their hands before they eat their bread. And that was a religious point with the Jews. He said, and the Lord challenges them back about them transgressing the commandment of God by their tradition and so on. And He talks about dealing with parents. He talks about verse number 7. Hear about them being hypocrites and what Isaiah prophesied about them. It can be so for people and folks today, drawing near with the mouth but not with the heart. And there's that heart thing again. In vain, verse number 9, they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We've got to be careful about that. And then He called unto the multitude unto Him, verse number 10. And He tells about what defiles of man, not what goes in, not eating with your hands dirty. And I think it's good hygiene to wash your hands before you eat. But that doesn't affect you spiritually. Okay, it might affect you physically, but it doesn't affect you spiritually, right? And then and He talks more about the Pharisees and the scribes there and such. And then in verse number 19, we come to what He says and what we want to look here. This morning. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. And so this thing of self and what we feel, or faith in the Lord, feeling or faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your blessings and Your goodness towards us, and we thank You for this privilege and opportunity that You've given us to meet together once again to worship You. We thank You, Father, for the way You've already blessed in the services and the way You're blessed in the singing and the reading of Your Word, Father, the way You're blessed in the Sunday school lesson. And Lord, we just praise Your name for Your people that are here this morning, and we pray, Father, that You would continue to help us and bless us together. As we look into Your Word, Father, that we would introspect, and we would consider ourselves how it is that we operate and how is it that we walk in this life, Father. Do we walk by feeling? Do we walk by the things of the flesh and of the heart? Or do we walk by faith, faith in You, Father? Help us to see that. For those that are here and not saved, Lord, that they might see Jesus, and Lord, that You might grant unto them faith, that they might repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, that You'd save their souls. Work in it as You only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Faith or feeling or faith. You know, before salvation comes to the sinner, indeed, we are in no shape to think that our emotions or our feelings will lead us to the truth. Okay, hear that. And so many times it's said, well, I feel this and I feel that. And I understand how we use that. Sometimes we're saying feeling and substitute for what we believe. And I try to watch myself to say when it is that I believe something that I say that. Okay, I say what you mean and mean what you say. If it is more of a feeling, then I try to be clear about that. But certainly before we are saved, before sinners are saved, sinners are in no shape to think that our emotions or our feelings will lead us to the truth. In Acts chapter 26, we've got a lot of scriptures to look at this morning. Some of them you can turn to, and others I'll just read to you. In Acts chapter 26, here, the Acts chapter 26, verse number 18 is where we're wanting to go to. The Lord Jesus here is speaking to Paul, and he's recounting how the Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and stopped him and saved him there and made him his own. And he says here that he is that he's Jesus, verse number 15, and he is appeared unto thee for this purpose, to be a minister and a witness, okay, of the things of Christ, delivering from the people, verse number 17, from the Gentiles whom I now send thee. Listen to what it says here: to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is in me. And so Jesus tells Paul, that's what he's called him to, and for the purpose of it, and it says here, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Why? Because all they understand, all sinner, all we understood as a sinner without Christ is what we can touch and what we can understand and what makes this old body and this old mind feel good about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, the scripture says, listen to this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. That's where those feelings come from. That's what that, referring to what the flesh and what the mind, what makes sense to us humanly. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the reason that there's a need for the Spirit of God to work within the sinner, that they might be illuminated to the truth. And that's what God does, is he takes the sinner and he gives him sight and hearing, ears to hear, that he might hear the truth. And when a sinner sees and hears the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and their great need, and that salvation is only by the Lord, indeed they do come to the Lord, don't they? They receive the Lord. They have been opened up. But until then, they're just trusting what they know. We that are saved, that's what we did. We just trusted what we know, we knew, and what we felt. Here in this same book, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, understand this. In verse number 14, and no marvel, speaking about the ministers of Satan, and no marvel, in verse number 14 in chapter 11, for Satan himself is transformed into angel of light. These ministers, these false prophets that the brother's talking about here, well, their leader is an angel of light. And what's he work on? The senses. That's what Satan does. He works to please the senses, doesn't he? Think about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that how he came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Was dealing with him and what his body would need? Turn the stones into bread. Be satisfied. See the power of God manifested in his life by throwing himself off the temple. That would be a fantastic thing that would happen, wouldn't it? Or to have all the kingdoms of the world, it would be a pleasing to the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2, a familiar passage, let's take a look over there. Look how it was before sinners, before the Lord saved us. And again, the subject, this point is, before salvation comes, we're in no shape to think that our emotions or our feelings will lead us to the truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, where in a time past you walked according to the course of this world. Touch, feel, look. That's all that there is. According to the prince and the power of the air, according to Satan's way, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That is the way it is with the sinner without Christ. Your feelings won't lead you to the truth. You need something else. We who are saved, we needed something else other than what we could feel. What we could feel. The range of emotion that we are capable of, we can be fooled by our emotions, can't we? We can be fooled by emotion. We can experience a whole range of emotions. And look at a couple passages here in Matthew chapter 14. Look at this, and this is even by saved people. Watch out for your feelings. And we're not to discount our feelings. We're not, the scripture doesn't tell us that we're to be stoic or just to be flatline in life. We are given to praise and honor and worship the Lord, and certainly that does bring joy and rejoicing. We rejoice about what the Lord has done for us and how He's touched us and helped us. But look how it is here in Matthew chapter 14, in verse number 23, Matthew 14, verse number 23, Jesus has just fed how many? 5,000 men. I mean, He has took a little bit of food, fed a whole bunch, and how many baskets were full? 12, one for each apostle. And I don't figure that those baskets were about like this, do you? I don't figure the baskets were, what was it on this account? Five loaves and two fishes. Do you think that it was, maybe the loaves were pretty big, but I don't think those baskets, those 12 baskets, were lunchbox size, do you? And they started off with that much food, maybe what might fit in one basket, loosely, and the Lord fed 5,000 men, not to speak of the women and the children, and there's one basket apiece left of the fragment for each of the apostles. Okay? Have they not seen the power of God? Has not the Lord worked? Indeed, indeed they have. But they go into this ship, and the Lord constrains them to do so. They're found on a tempestuous sea, right? And it says here, verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, that is Peter, he was afraid, okay? The Lord had bid him come walk on the water. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. What did he begin to trust in? What he felt, what he saw, was the Lord any different? Had the Lord come and had the Lord bid him to come walk on the water? Did the Lord bid him to walk on the water that he would sink? No, it's not the Lord. Lord knows all things, but it was not the Lord's intention to get Peter out there and to drown him. But Peter started going from eyes on the Lord and faith in Him. Was Peter walking on the water by his own volition or own ability? No, it was by the Lord who had bid him. But then Peter started looking around, and he started trusting his feelings, didn't he? He started trusting what he could see and what he could feel and that. And he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, our feelings can come even as saved and can overwhelm us. You know what we need to do when that happens? We need to look to the Lord. We need to cry out to the Lord to help us. Amen. But we need to be aware of our feelings. We can be fooled by our emotions. In John chapter 20, feelings or faith. In John chapter 20, here, the Lord Jesus has given his life on the cross. He's been buried. And the disciples are there seemingly having expectation that the Jews and the government would even come upon them. And in verse number 19, we read in John 20, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear. That's a feeling, isn't it? For fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad. what a swing right there immediately. Of course, it was the Lord appearing unto them, but the Lord had told them so many things about what he would do. And so we see right here a swing in emotions and feelings from fear to gladness at an instant. We've got to watch out for our emotions and our feelings, what we feel, we can be fooled by them. Salvation, the next point, salvation may bring emotion. Most likely it will. There's no carte blanche emotion that'll be exhibited. Some people cry when they're saved. Some people laugh when they're saved. All rejoice when they're saved. Have you ever known anybody that was saved and was sad about it? No, we've been rescued, haven't we? We've been saved. When the Lord said in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. In that rest that we have in Christ, it does bring peace, doesn't it? Relief. Joy, gladness, and rejoicing in the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, take a look over here. Brother Philip going through the countryside and preaching. You remember what it says over there about Samaria? And they receiving the word of the Lord there. In verse number 8, when they were received the word that Philip preached and received Christ as Savior and were saved by the Lord, it says in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. And everybody was going around with corners turned down, weren't they? No, they were happy. They were rejoicing in the Lord, and they were focusing upon Him. They've been saved by Him, and the power of God had been manifested there. And so salvation may bring emotion, but emotions are not the leading thing. How is it that salvation comes? Well, our side of this issue, it's by faith, isn't it? By not faith in self? No, faith in the Lord. Faith in His gospel. Faith in the Savior. And chapter 8, verse number 39, listen how it was here with the Ethiopian eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, in obedience to the Lord, because the man had been saved by the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he was sad. No, it says, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. So salvation may bring emotion, and most likely will. Emotion. But we got to watch out for those feelings. We need to beware of them. And that Acts chapter 16 here, you know about the Philippian jailer. Another account of a man saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there is indeed an order that's there as the word of God comes unto us. Look at verse number 34. And when he had brought them into his house, the jailer, having brought Paul and Silas to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, because believing in God with all his house. His emotion was a result and a function of his faith in Christ, the salvation of the Lord upon him. So, before salvation comes, don't think that your emotions or your feelings can lead you to the truth. And to understand the range of emotion and the quickness of emotion, how it can change, or feelings can change, we can be fooled by them, certainly. Salvation indeed may bring emotion, but the emotion is not salvation. It's a touch by the Lord that is salvation. It's faith in Him. If we take a look and consider this faith or feeling, when we go to the Bible, the entire Bible, this King James English Bible that we have here, and we go to look for any form of the word feel. I'm telling you, any form of the word feel. In the whole Bible, we only find 14 occurrences. In the entire Scripture, we only see 14 occurrences. The first is in Genesis chapter 27, verse 12. When where Isaac is there and Jacob and Esau, Esau has been sent out. Esau's been sent out of his father to go and get the venison, and Jacob and his mother concoct a recipe here to deceive the father. And it says in Genesis chapter 27, verse number 12, my father peradventure will feel me. He'll know that I am not Esau. I'll seem to him as a deceiver. And he says in verse 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, verse 21, that I may feel thee. So let's talk about feeling with the fingers, whether you be Esau or not. And Jacob, verse number 22, went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, it's the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau, because he put that fur hair on his hands. So there's one that talks about feeling. In Exodus chapter 10, verse number 21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." One of the plagues. And that was an oppressive darkness, wasn't it? When it was, they could feel it squeezing in on them. In Judges chapter 16, verse 26, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." There's Samson at his death, having had his eyes gored out because of his disobedience to the Lord, and he wanted to feel the pillars of the house there, of those that held him captive. In Job, chapter 20, verse 20, "Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired." Speaking there, I believe one of Job's friends speaking to him and talking about the urgings of the belly for food. In Psalms 58:9, "Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath." Speaking here about judgment of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 35, "They have stricken me, says the drunkard. Shalt thou say, I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it again," the drunkard says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 5, "Whoso keepeth the commandment of the Lord, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." Obey the Lord, and there's blessing in it. It'll save you from a lot of heartache. It'll cause no evil thing to come upon you. Mark chapter 5, verse 29, as we go through all 14 of these passages. It says here in Mark chapter 5, verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." So the woman that was there as the Lord's on the way to deal with Jairus' daughter, she was healed of her plague. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Paul there on on Mars Hill preaching, I believe. And here he's talking about sinners needing to seek the Lord, and haply they might feel after him. They're searching after the truth. As it says in Hebrews 11:6, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In Acts chapter 28, verse number 5, "And he shook off the beast into the fire," Paul did, the snake that bit him while they were on that isle, a shipwreck, "and felt no harm." So it's talking about him being wounded, and he was not. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness," speaking of those who are against the way of the Lord and the truth of God's word, their past feeling, they are seared against truth and righteousness in that. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Have you experienced something? Jesus knows all about it. And so when you take a look at feeling in the Scripture, you remember that song that was sung many years ago about feelings? I'll not sing it for you. But when you take a look in the Scripture, 14 things about feeling, and only one of them is talking about anything to do with relative to a spiritual pursuit of the Lord, okay? That one that we read there in Acts as Paul is preaching there on Mars Hill. And that's speaking about seeking the Lord, that they might feel after him, to look to find him. 14 occasions of any form of the word feel in the Scripture. Are feelings something that's important and that we should pursue? We need to be careful. The Lord bids us we who are saved, to operate contrary to our feelings. In Luke chapter 6, turn over here. In Luke chapter 6, listen to what the Lord says. Luke chapter 6. The Lord bids the saved to operate contrary to our feelings. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. That makes us feel bad, doesn't it? And when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. If it's so for Jesus' sake, he says, rejoice ye in that day. But see, the old man and the old body and the old mind, we don't want to be hated, do we? We don't want to be disliked. It's in us to... We want to be accepted. We want to be received. But the Lord says, if it's for my sake, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. In James chapter 1, verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials. I don't like things to break down. Do you? I don't like getting sick. But the Lord said, count it all joy. Why? Because it's part of our growth. It's part of the, it's an opportunity when we are weak. It's an opportunity for the Lord to show his strength in us, isn't it? And we need to rejoice in that. In Acts chapter 5, verse number 41, it says here, and they departed from the presence of the council, the disciples, the apostles did, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They threatened them to quit preaching, even beat them at times, scourged them for them to quit preaching about Jesus Christ and quit mentioning his name and quit bringing up about his crucifixion and that supposed resurrection. And they rejoiced. Even though their bodies suffered, they rejoiced. They didn't go by their feelings, but they went by their faith in the Lord. Understand, next point, emotion or feelings are not salvation. Salvation comes by faith via the Word of God. Understand that. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. You know this passage. I hope that you do. What's it say? In Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Need the Word of God. Need the Word of God. So what? So you can feel good about it? No, so you can hear about the truth and believe it and have faith in the Savior and the God of the Bible. It's not about what this old flesh can do, but about the truth of God's Word as it comes to us. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the Lord speaking about the different types of ground, four different kinds of ground, but that on the good ground, in Luke 8, 15, are they, listen to this, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. They hear it. They believe it. They say that it's so, and nothing else matters but that. I am trusting in God that says that these things are so. Doesn't have anything to do with feelings, does it? Doesn't have anything to do with emotion. Doesn't have anything to do about what this old wretched body and flesh would tell us. In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, and I trust these are familiar passages with you. In Acts chapter 20 here, the Apostle Paul, he's kind of warming up to sign off here, and he's with these brethren from Ephesus and speaking to them. But he says here in verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 24, but none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says here, I'm sorry, I've got an error in my notes, which we'll need to correct. But he says here, he testifies that not by feelings, but by faith, Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles alike are saved. It has nothing to do with what the flesh feels. But here we see, well, I apologize for that. Something, when he preached before Felix and Drusilla, he preached to them also concerning the faith in Christ. Not feelings, but faith in Christ. And I have to make a correction there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Scripture says, "For the saved of God, we walk by faith and not by sight." Your sight can cause you to feel things in the flesh, and it can stir up emotion in the flesh, can't it? We've got those, there's some movies and some things that we watch, and we, stories and accounts portrayed, and they might be a real tearjerker, because they stir us, they work within us, but it doesn't have to be the truth at all, but it can do and work on us, can't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, the Scripture says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates." It doesn't say examine about what you feel, but about faith. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16, listen to this: "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ," his faithfulness. See, we trust in his faithfulness, what he has done, "and not by the works of the law that we could keep, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." We won't ever be justified by what we do, but by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. In verse number 20, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh," hear that, "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Amen. By faith, not by feelings. Feelings are faith. Oh, it's only by faith. We mentioned about any form of the word feeling in the Scripture. There's only 14 different passages. But you know what we find when we go to the Scripture and we take a look at the word believe? When we take a look in the word, at the word believe, or any form of the word believe, we find it 287 times in the entire Bible. 14 any form of the word feeling, and none of those at all lead us to any kind of instruction about salvation and forgiveness of sins and a relationship with God, other than maybe the sinner that is being convicted and working on looking and desiring the things of the Lord as the Lord is enlightening. But you know what? Of these 287 times of any form of the word believe is found, 244 of them are found in the New Testament Scriptures. And this is where we live and what has been brought forth unto us. Simply in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Amen. He believed the Lord, didn't he? In Galatians chapter 3, it's a reference to Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He just believed what God said. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 15, "And saying, the Lord Jesus came, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent ye and feel very, very good about it." No, believe. Believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The Lord goes on. The Scripture says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." No faith, trust in feelings, going your own way, you will be damned. Faith. Faith. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that Believe. Believe. Faith or feeling. We see that the Scripture certainly points to that of faith. What do you believe? Do you believe anything? Do you believe anything at all? What do you believe about your soul? The condition of your soul? Eternity? Where you stand before God? And what is your hope in? Do you believe that there is just nothing at all, that this life is this life, and after that there's nothing at all? Well, you may believe that, but it's not so. It's not so. What the Lord tells us is the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, which is a wonder, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles even, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory." It's a miracle that God, and a blessing that God would come and save wicked sinners such as us. In James chapter 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Salvation is not just believing that God is there. Salvation is found in believing and trusting in Christ, that He died for you, that you needed it, that you need it. You need it. Verse 23 of that same chapter, "And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Believe God? Believe God about your sin and about yourself, about your need, about the Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? If we take a look at the word trust, we don't have time, but any form of the word trust comes through in the Scriptures 188 times. Remember, any form of the word feeling was 14 total. But the word trust comes through 188 times in the Bible, and 35 of those are in the New Testament. And Psalms 118:8, a favorite passage of mine, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man and his feelings and his emotions." To those that wanted to be saved in the Scripture, what did they ask? And we've read some of these passages. We'll read them again. Acts 2:37, "And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Do you see your need? Go to the Lord. Repent of your sins. We tell you, repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. Not try to feel Him, but believe in Him. In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." If you're saved, and the Lord has saved you, if you are trusting in Him and no one and nothing else, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He said, "I didn't feel it. I believe it. And I believe that He is my Savior," is the indication there. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," the Philippian jailer, "and thou shalt be saved, and it's good enough for your house." Not only you, but anybody else in your house. He feared when he saw the result of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the earthquake and that which happened in the jail. And they told him to believe in the Lord. Feelings or faith? Well, I think we see that it's faith indeed. That's what the Scripture tells us. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and does He have you? Do you have faith in Him or a feeling? In Ephesians chapter 3, let's read. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14, listen to this. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." And that's not a feeling. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." That's what we desire for the saints, and that's what we desire for sinners without Christ, that they might be touched by the Lord, that they might be convicted by the Lord, that they might have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, the four-dimensional understanding and knowledge of the Lord, because He is great. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Faith in the Lord and salvation by Him indeed will bring emotion, but it's not the emotion that is salvation. Salvation is witnessed to by faith. Faith or feeling? Feeling or faith? We see that the Scripture indeed speaks that salvation is by grace through faith. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, we'll close. But the fearful and unbelieving, see that there? Fearful. Fearful to believe. Fearful to have faith. Fearful to depart from your own feelings and what the body and the mind tells you. Fearful to step out of what you think everything ought to be. But the fearful and the unbelieving. Fearful is an emotion, isn't it? Fearful is a feeling. But the fearful and unbelieving, those that lack faith, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Faith or feelings? Feelings or faith? Oh, may the Lord bless with faith. And praise God that He has. Are you here without Christ? We point you to Him. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look for a feeling. Don't look for a sensation in this old flesh and body. But trust in Christ. Amen. Believe in Him. Mm-hmm. He'll save. He'll work. Go to Him with your need.